Good evening and thanks for waking me up. نصرة استيقظ. my presentation is going to be a presentation of a dreamer. It is not someone who is going to criticize the status quo because we have already heard enough to tell us an idea about what we are in. Of course, while you realize what is going on around you, it doesn't prevent you to put a vision of what should be done or what could be done. Because usually when we criticize anything, people ask us, "Tabu al-halli?" So what's the solution? I hope the solution I'm going to present for restructuring public broadcasting sector in Egypt is going to be, as Dr. Hanan mentioned, the viable one, but not a final solution. It's just a viable solution for people who don't like the word the final solution because of Berlin rhetoric in the 30s. Let's start with Berlin. Here in this city, 1938, is actually the birth of Arab broadcast to our region, although BBC, as I would explain later, started maybe 6 months earlier in Arabic, but Radio Berlin Arabic Service in April 1939. And there was a personality that was very well known in the region before Ahmad Saeed of Voice of the Arabs came in the 60s, who is the Iraqi famous broadcaster Yunus Bahri. And that would give us an example of how media development started in our part of the world, not just the technology that started outside, but even the content started from outside into, beamed from outside into inside, and it is very linked and related to the regional and international politics at that time. We are talking about the Axis versus the Allies. We are talking about the occupiers or the colonists of that area, Britain and France mainly. And then since Germany has nothing to lose but to undermine the presence of these places in order to take their place. So they were given time and the place for voices for Arab nationalism, decolonization, all of that. So Yunus Bahri was someone well known and liked in that part of the world that coming out of Berlin. Then the BBC Arabic Service started in Cyprus instead of London because they wanted to reach the area through the medium waves. Yunus Bahri and Berlin was mainly relying on short waves, but BBC did a more sophisticated content and also wanted to counter the German impact and the influence that is anti-British. Voice of America came also as content and material coming from outside the area into that area. And if we see here, it is 1950. So after the Second World War, and with what used to be called filling the vacuum of the all the traditional powers in this area, British and French colonialism, into the new order of bipolar system, and as Voice of America and the Arabic Service trying to play a role in that area and present something different. Of course, it's very interesting to say that as my colleague Yusri mentioned yesterday and talked about many of these radio stations that was the mouth of the government or the regime, I really would like to admit here and make a disclosure that I was a mouth of the peace in Voice of America as a broadcaster, that I did work with them for 12 years. And that wasn't bad. I don't regret it anyway, because it was in Washington. And then came Voice of the Arabs, another place where I did work as a mouth of a piece of their mouth of the Voice of Arabs. I started my career in Voice of the Arabs in 1980 till 1983, before moving to Washington. Of course, when I worked on the Voice of the Arabs, there was not the traditional Voice of the Arabs. Ahmed Saeed that we see here and the Nasser, they were gone, and what is left is only the name, but not the spirit of the Voice of the Arabs. But that I'm bringing this one not to tell a history that most of you know, but to tell you about the idea of using technology, whether it was short wave or medium waves, and content that is built and developed outside the area to beam inside the area for their own reasons. And here Nasser is trying to use the same tools that were developed outside in order to use it, and use the technology, the new technology of the radio, transistor radio, the portable radio that was not portable before, and allowed Nasser to reach audience with Ahmed Saeed into Yemen, to the point that villagers in Yemen and mountain, remote mountain areas used to call the transistor radio set the box of Ahmed Saeed, Sanduq Ahmed Saeed. And they would ask people before they buy from a store to cut the needle or whatever in order not to move from 625 or whatever that the frequency of medium wave for the Voice of the Arabs. That's what mattered for them. So radio was used by Cairo in order to achieve things, and they would consume things in order to battle against royal systems, kingdoms, traditional powers at that time. And of course, Saudi Arabia was a target for Nasser using radio at that time. We would see later on, as I might just cross by and mention, that Al Jazeera was used the same way with Voice of America used, with also utilizing another technology, is satellite TV, in order to overcome borders and restrictions of any local government and beam what they have into these places. But of course, it is totally different in the case of Al Jazeera. I'll go back to what I wanted to talk about, which is the how radio and broadcast started in Egypt and in our part of the world, because it's related to the whole theme that I would like to talk about, which is centralization. Too much centralization. At that time, it was condoned and encouraged by influencing powers. Britain at that time that encouraged Egypt to have a semi-liberal democracy between 1923, the year of the first constitution, and 1952, the military coup, or what usually started to be used as the revolution of 1952. Between this period, of course, we know about the constitutional monarchy, but with some kind of influence by the British at that time. They encouraged everything, including privatization and the freedom of the press, print press, party, multi-party system, everything, but broadcast, no. And that hasn't changed until now. You could see in a Shuruq newspaper, on daily basis, you would read for someone like Fahmi Hweli, who is a dissenter and perceived as a Muslim Brotherhood sympathizer, or an Islamist sympathizer, if not the Muslim Brotherhood, criticizing Sisi and the regime and shedding light on everything that is going on in Egypt on a daily basis in a column known as Shuruq newspaper. You see Amr Hamzawi as well with a daily column in Shuruq newspaper, and nobody censoring them or stopping them. Why? Because you cannot think of Fahmi Hawidi to be allowed weekly, even not daily, on broadcast waves in Egypt, in television or in radio, nor Amr Hamzawi even to be a guest, only if, like, every 6 months or whatever, one of our colleague, current broadcasters, would beg his handler to allow him to get Amr for a change or for the color or something like that. But other than that, those people are not. And that can tell you the realization of about literacy and oral, and you are dealing with an oral society, with illiteracy and all of that stuff. And for that reason, even the British allowed Egypt to nationalize radio and broadcast when the word nationalization and public sector was not there at all until Nasser came later in the 50s. Nasser came, they started their own newspaper, government-owned, in 1954, Al-Gumhuriya, and then later, after 6 years, encouraged by Mr. Haykel, Muhammad Hassanin Haykel, who benefited from private newspapers and learned in Al-Ahram and all of that stuff, allowed the Mubarak and became very bragging about his new nationalized newspaper, Al-Ahram. So the state took over Al-Ahram as well as Al-Akhbar of Mustafa Amin and Ali Amin, let alone that Ali Amin ended up fleeing the country and the Mustafa in prison for years until Sadat freed him later after the death of Nasser. So based on that, with 1952 and the military rule of Egypt, regardless whether it's a populist regime or not, we moved even in the print from even as a setback and regression, even in the newspaper that was left, to return back into a state-owned and controlled media. So you can't talk now about radio or whatever. And in the midst of that, you had, unfortunately, the TV introduced to Egypt in 1960, in the midst of nationalization, public sector, state-owned, state-controlled, military officers heading different corporations, and that building is known to be Maspiro now. When they say Maspiro about the area that is across the Nile, radio moved from Sharifin, that is very close to downtown, into the new area of Maspiro. That building that was built in the late 50s to have by the 1960 Maspiro became also the powerhouse of all frequencies in Egypt. So radio, television, you name it. And between 1960 up to 1990 or even 2000, there was only one place to broadcast from in Egypt. And that place, of course, had to be guarded by tanks, by military troops, you name it, because whoever can get inside there might claim to be the head of the state. So it has to be defended because this is where all the treasures are and we had to keep it. This one is from the National Telecommunication Regulatory Authority, Egyptian one, NTRA. It gives you about the government monopoly of all terrestrial broadcasting frequencies in Egypt. So we are not talking about just figuratively, for those people who are talking about the private media in Egypt, they should not be under any illusion that Private is something very relative, is just a benign thing on the side. But we are talking about state control. State control is all broadcast, not only broadcast, all the frequencies owned by the government, unlike FCC or in the US, where the government is banned totally from owning media. In Egypt, it owns everything. Here, you have all medium waves from 526.5 to 1606.5 kilohertz. All of these are medium waves, AM radio frequencies, starting from the voice of the Arabs, the South Al-Arab, close to the 600, moving through Cairo Radio, Al-Bernamaj Al-Aam, and blah, 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 blah. All of that is taken. And even when they started to lease some time or some frequencies to private, they didn't give it in medium waves. You have here VHF, TV, terrestrial broadcast, channels 2 and 4, VHF, FM broadcasting 87.5 until 108 megahertz. All of that also. All FM stations owned since it's the international telecom organizations allowed it for every country to have these kind of spectrum. It's the ownership. It is only for the state government to own it. VHF, of course, has very high frequency, stands for that. Here also TV broadcasting, channels 5 to 12, terrestrial, all owned by the government. UHF, ultra high frequency, TV broadcasting, also from channel 21 till channel 69, all also owned by and run by the government. Nobody else share it, that one. So we had the domination and the dominance of terrestrial TV from 1960 to 1990. All what you need is this kind of antenna that you could even do by yourself by getting your the hanger of your clothes or whatever and put it outside the window or even the internal antenna, and you get it. And that was what people were really relying on, and that the government at that time had monopoly on it. And so that allowed them to have this kind of monopoly. And then you had information minister later on saying that we need sovereignty, media sovereignty. And media sovereignty, السيادة الإعلامية, for them means that you need to reach our national broadcast to every place in Egypt. So they wanted to make sure that they have repeaters, relay stations, to strengthen the frequencies to reach Sinai, to Matruh in the west, up to north and south to Aswan. Emerging Pan-Arab satellite TV stations came to change things. What and why we are talking about them here, in order to explain that the hen that was laying gold eggs started to lose its value. You have all the frequencies, radio, well, people were listening to BBC, Voice of America, Radio Monte Carlo, and they are leaving your radio and not listening to it. You have the TV, now the satellite allowed people to broadcast from outside the area through satellite TV into your area, so you can control it as much as you like. But you don't have anything really valuable because people started to use dishes on the roof in order to get the broadcast of television. NBC, Middle East Broadcast Center, started in London, Saudi owned in 1991. And of course, we can talk about how NBC found that the coverage of CNN that was sanitized in the Gulf War of 1991 allowed them to say, well, you can actually say you are broadcasting without really broadcasting, as what they did with the pool system, Shwarzkopf in Zahran, and talking about something happened in Iraq. And it said, well, we can manage the media, but NBC has also the credit of presenting a new modern a newscast, as well as very pretty girls at the taste of sheikhs in the Gulf, that they wouldn't be prevented from showing them in their own TV in Saudi Arabia because of Sharia and all of that stuff. So it resolved for them the problem of how to watch very faces and listen to sanitized news. ART, another radio, another Saudi investor, but not related directly to the government, Sheikh Saleh. And then BBC Arabic that Yusri mentioned about the first attempt of BBC Arabic in television, that gave way to Al Jazeera to start in November 1996. And of course we know that how Al Jazeera really the one that rigged the boat and made the challenge, because as Nasser did with the Voice of the Arabs, Al Jazeera did against the dominance of the discourse of Saudi Arabia, that you cannot touch Saudi Arabia or Gulf states, which is the case now after Al Jazeera, and the Qatari and Saudis became brothers again. They are now, since 2009, you wouldn't get on Al Jazeera anything that Saudis would be angered with, including the invasion of Bahrain by Saudi army in order to crack down on the uprising over there by Shiite Bahrainis. Then I will get into, well, what to do? Oh my goodness, 3 minutes, I haven't even started my idea. Okay. It's your fault, Adil. The media production city, as Adil mentioned, is a free zone area. They called it free zone. Also besieged by security in the desert, in the western desert, Oktober City. And if we had to allow some people to venture a news broadcast, whether it's radio or television, let's also have them in an area that is secured, and we would check everybody in and out, and we can control them. But they call it free area or free city. So you would know when someone tell you anything free, be very careful, as even capitalism told us. You had two main channels started at that time, Al Mihwar in 2001 and Dream TV 2002. So this is private TV satellite. The regime allowed it. Why? Because Al Jazeera was crossing all red lines. So at least let's allow someone to have some kind of criticism, but it is moderate. We can tolerate it. So it's already, it's okay to say something against the Prime Minister or the Minister even of Interior, but don't say anything about the President, of course, and the Defense Minister. These are red lines, very sacred lines that you cannot cross. But at least it's better to see this kind of debate and the views and the other views and documentaries and all of that stuff, so you don't miss anything by looking at Al Jazeera. Come and watch our own TV stations. It's nice, it's dandy, it's very, it's diversified. Then let me move to, some people said, well, how about those poor people around in provinces, in cities, that we are taking all their frequencies and we're not giving them anything? They said, okay, why not? We can give them some of these old repeaters and some of these towers that we used to use to jam on broadcasting coming from Saudi Arabia or other places against us or Israel, and use it as local networks and radio one. You had in Egypt 10 local or the provisional radio stations. But you have to be careful that these are on medium waves, and until recently they became a little bit, you can listen to them in these, in some of these areas. These are Greater Cairo, Qahira al-Kubra, Alexandria, Marsa Matruh, Wadi Gadid, so on, so forth, until South Sinai, Sharm el-Sheikh. But other than that, even not many people listen to them, unfortunately. TV, you have local, provisional, 6 TV stations. Same, Cairo, Alexandria, blah, blah, blah. Sinai doesn't have any, and Al-Wadi Jadid, but they have 6 ones also, that if you watch it, some of them really try their best. But the problem is that their frequency, and they are supposed to be terrestrial TV, that we're saying that nobody has a chance to broadcast on it, and that nobody can watch them. So what they do now, they insisted that the government would put their broadcast on satellite in order for people around them in their neighborhood to watch them. Why? Because Egyptians now no longer use traditional antenna to get terrestrial frequencies. They have the dish for satellite. So that's what happened. So you end up with the local level, very primitive ways of communication in order to tell people that someone died yesterday, the funeral tomorrow, the health of Ministry of Health is giving shots against whatever polo or whatever. They have to send the microphones on a horse or a donkey or whatever to tell people in cities in Egypt until now in a medieval way about the news. Why? Because the frequencies are controlled in Cairo and nobody is giving those people a way to broadcast. What I have in mind is decentralizing national broadcast by doing what? But these repeaters, instead of strengthen that to reach all over Egypt, is to create in every city in Egypt and every urban center, not just one station, but maybe 2 or 3 FM stations, as well as terrestrial TV stations. And this is the way you would have in federal Germany or federal US and other places. This way, you could solve the problem of Maspero now, in the same time use their assets and their problems to resolve the problem of centralization in Egypt. Approximate $3 billion to a state national investment bank as the debt for the Maspero, and it is rising. Number of employees, as mentioned before, is around 40,000 employees in that building. Monthly salaries about $30 million in that building as well. So what you do with them? 40,000 that you have in a building that you don't need them and nobody is watching their product and they are not giving you anything. What to do is create local FM radio stations. So each between like 87.5 to 88, 88 to 8.5, so on. All of these has places for new stations. And if you have only kilowatts of 100 or 50 kilowatts or whatsoever, you can create in every city and urban area in Egypt your own FM and TV stations. You could end up with very easily 4,000 FM and TV stations in Egypt. And you have 40,000 employees, divide by 4, so every 10 of them could, in a cooperative ownership, own for 10 years at least the frequency in that area. They collected advertising, local advertising from it. They started their own career. They leave the building. We end up with decentralization. We end up with really a much better idea. Of course, the network is clear, like Fox, like CBS and others, because that doesn't mean you are away from the country, you don't know what's going on. No, they integrate together and reconnect for national news, and then they separate for local news. So you keep still with the national anthem and the national news, you don't lose them. And that's mainly what I wanted to end my discussion with, and thank you.